Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 5 for Autumn Semester 2018. Lecture 12, delivered on September 27, 2018. The title of this lecture is Annuities and Perpetuities.
Today, Annuities and Perpetuities. What I'm doing in this lecture is essentially trying to cover the problems that you'll see in the homework. At least, most of the larger varieties of them. And, I mean, it all just basically boils down to a couple of logical formulas and routines that you can do on a calculator, or you can even do them in Excel if you want. But one that we might want to start with that seems like an oddball is a twist on your traditional one, a twist on the traditional one. And I'm going to show you something on the TI-83 calculator that you shouldn't use this for. There's an app that I'm going to use that is supposed to be for something rather different. Okay, you purchase a stock today for $18.75. In 1 year, you'll get a dividend for $1.25, and in one more year, you'll get a dividend for $1.50, at which time you sell the stock for $20.92. Get that down. And if you discount cash flows, at 8%, did your investment, well, let me not say did, was your investment good? I'm going to show you how to do this. There are different ways to do this. One thing that I do want to encourage right now is what we call timelines. It's a visual way to show what's happening. And it looks like I'm just showing you some, really rudimentary tool. But I use timelines, especially when your cash flows get really complicated and weird. Timelines can be a saving grace to you. And I've seen some of my best professional friends draw timelines. They have a ruler so they can do this. This one is, I mean, really silly, though. Look, you have year zero, year one, year two. Now, in year one, you're going to get a dividend of $1.25, and in year two, you're going to get a dividend of $1.50, and then you're also going to get your gain. You're going to sell the stock for $20.92. There's your timeline. Now, like I said, this is just a simplistic example. But when you're talking about projects that are multi-year, like 10-year projects, 15, 20, these timelines are really nice to have. As a matter of fact, there's an app. I've been told there's a template for Excel that can draw timelines like this. But anyway, okay, here's the thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the present value of the $1.25 discounted at 8% per year, and then I'm going to take the present value of this thing right here, the $1.50 and the $20.92, that's 21, what? $22.42, discounted back 2 years. Add those up and see what it's worth. Okay? There's a way to do this on your calculator, on a TI-83, and this is not what you're supposed to do, use this app for in the finance, but it works perfectly. It's watch. If you got your TI-83 or your virtual TI-83, watch how it works. Okay. Bringing that up. Clear. Now follow with me. Apps. Finance. You go down here to 7, which is the NPV. That stands for net present value. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain how apps like this work. There's a whole bunch of these apps, NPV, IRR, things like that. I'm going to explain the logic, the calculator, what its coding language is to a certain extent. We're going to use the NPV. You just scroll down to 7 or just key in 7. And you go back to the main screen, NPV, open parenthesis. Now, the first thing you're going to do with an NPV is key in the discount rate. Now remember, with financial apps, they want to see it as the percent. So just key in 8. If you're doing math, real math, of course, it's 0.08. But in any finance app, you just key in the percentage, so 8. Now, the way that a TI-83, 84, Inspire sees that a number has finished and another number is about to come is with a comma. So you key in a comma. That says the 8 now here comes. Now the next thing you're going to do is put in the initial cash outflow. In this case, negative $18 and 75 cents, 18.75. And again, you have finished a number, now here comes something else. The comma says, okay, now TI-83, here comes something else. The next thing is, whenever you put in a cash flow, you actually put it in trapped in braces. In other words, second parenthesis opens a brace. That announces TI-83, here comes a cash flow. Open brace. Now you key in the first year, 1.25, $1.25. And again, okay, TI-83, finished with that number, here comes another one. Comma. And this one we would put in the $20.42. Is that 2042? No, 2242. $22.42, 22.42. You got your dividend, $1.50, and you sold the stock for $20.92, so that's a total cash flow for year two of $22.48. Are you with me? Okay. You got it? Tell me if you're not. $20.92 plus $1.50. Huh? Yeah, that's first year. First year, second year. 1.25, first year. 1.25, comma, second year, 22.42. First year, you got a dividend. Second year, you got a dividend and the price you sold the stock for. Now, by the way, I don't do it this way, but you could actually just put in $1.50 plus $20.92. You could do that. Whoop, 20, not that, not though, not that. 22.90. Why am I am really bad right now. Okay, let's try that again. $20.90, 20.92. You could do it, just have TI-83 do the calculation for you. It's okay if you do that. But I don't usually. I just put in the full number, the year two number, which is the 22.42. Now, you said, all right, I've given you the cash flow, the year one, the year two. You could go on for as many years as you want. And then when you're finished, you say, you close the braces, second parenthesis, second close brace, because you're done. You're announcing that's the end of the cash flow, and then you close the parenthesis that you started the whole mess with right there. Now you hit enter. Is that number positive or negative? Huh?
It's really negative.
No, it's not. You lie.
I lie.
No. Yeah. It's a positive number. It doesn't matter how positive or how negative. If it's positive, you say yes, good investment. If it's negative, you say no, bad investment. This is how we analyze any project. You give me a discount rate, you give me how much it's going to cost up front, and then you tell me how much I'm going to get year by year. That's all there is to it. That's all there ever is to it. In this case, it's a positive number. Doesn't matter how positive, it's just a positive number. So yes, this is a good investment. It turned out to be what we call a positive net present value investment. That's how nice. Yeah, go ahead. It does, but interestingly enough, it does, but it doesn't. And I know that's kind of odd because you see, there was actually, this was a video on YouTube. There was this guy, and it was in one of those countries where the sewerage system is rather dodgy, and he was standing beside on a street, and there was this manhole, and all of a sudden, there was an explosion in the sewerage system, and it just fired the manhole cover up in the air. That's about an 80-pound piece of iron. It went up in the air, and it came back down. He was so stunned by the explosion, he's just standing there, and it landed right next to him. Tong, bongity, bing, bong, bong, dong, ding, bong, bong. Now, does it matter that it was 2 inches from him? No. He's alive. Okay, so for him, aside from probably having to change his diaper, it doesn't matter. It does matter only to the extent that it's just telling you how much your economic profit was off it. In other words, an 8%, if your target rate is 8%, then this made you $1.62 more than you would have at 8%. Let me say that again. If your target investment rate, I want to make 8%, this investment would make you $1.62 more than you would have gotten at 8%. But in terms of yes or no, marketing people will come to the finance with their projects and they'll give us the cash flows. And for that, it doesn't matter whether what size it is. If it's a positive number, whatever it is, we say yes. If it's a negative number, whatever it is, it's no. So in other words, if this had been a marketing, you're a marketing major? You come to me and the project is negative 0.01. In other words, negative one penny. I would say no. Now, you would be very upset with me. Quite possibly, you could, really trash me on Facebook, unfriend me, and maybe say disrespectful things about my lolcat pictures on Twitter. You'd do that, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. I know you. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's negative. It's no. It's negative. It's no. And, of course, that means that we have to watch out, because then you know that in a lot of situations, the project people, the ones who have this dream, they're going to manipulate the numbers to make sure that when it goes to the finance people, they see a net positive net present value. And so we have to back up and say, how realistic were your numbers to begin with? And so it becomes rather a cat and mouse game. I'll tell you about that in a minute here. But this is how we do cash flow. Now, I'll show you real quick how you would do one of these and a little bit more. As much as I'm showing you functions, oh, heck, you're going to find you can figure out functions by yourself. But I'm showing you sort of the tricks in the back end. I'm going to do this problem in Excel. Really stupid. I mean, year. Cash flow. Okay. And then over here, I'm going to write discount rate. Let me show you something. First of all, your year, 0, 1. Whoops, 10. 2. Your cash flow on the first year is going to be negative $18.75. Cash flow on the second year is going to be $1.25. Cash flow in the third year, just say, equals. Save yourself making a mistake arithmetic-wise, plus $20.92. And then your discount rate, put that over here. Couple things, first of all. That 8% is actually 0.08 to Excel. That's a 0.08. This is not like a calculator. You do not ever put a percent into a calculator. You would not write 8 there. You would tell Excel 8%. Now, the other thing, notice how I put the, now I'm going to do this. Net present value, okay, equals NPV, open parenthesis. Now, you put the rate. Now, notice how you should never, in Excel, type the rate into the formula. You use a reference cell for it. You see how I put the 8% over there in cell D2 away from the action? That you always do. Why? Because then you can do complete what if. 8, 6, 12. You can just keep flipping the number, and you don't have to go back into the formula to do it. And another thing is, too, you see that D2 that just I clicked on it? Hit F4. What I did there was I created an absolute reference so that if I move the formula's pieces around, it will not move the reference cell from where I want it. Always use F4 to lock a cell in a formula. You're going to see me do that again here in just a little while. Lock the form, lock that number. Okay, so now, comma, in Excel, which is different from TI-83, all you do is just lay out all of the values. I just start with B2, which was the negative, and then I just run it down to B4, close the parenthesis, and there you go. I want you to completely ignore that. What is weird is that I am finding, and I can't figure this out, is that different people with Excel will get different numbers in their Excel sheets, and the numbers will sometimes be different from what you'll get doing it on a calculator. Yeah? Okay, I'll do it again. Delete. I'm going to say equals an NPV. Now, the NPV function, you open parentheses, and it starts out by referencing the first thing it wants is the rate. So I click on that rate. Now, I hit F4 to lock the rate. The dollar signs say it's locked by the column and locked by the row. Sometimes you don't want it locked by both, but that's something else. Now I give it a comma, which interestingly enough is like a TI-83. And the next thing I do is just start at the top, cash flow, the negative one, and just hold the mouse down, take it to the bottom one, and then close the parenthesis and hit enter. If I really want to be fancy, you want to see fancy? We're talking, okay. Imagine, are you a finance major?
No.
What major are you?
Business management, entrepreneurship, and exercise
mentality. You're a finance major. You go into a finance singles bar. Do you really want to go in there with a pencil and a piece of paper and try to calculate net present values at the bar? Or do you want to go in there with a sleek laptop and do Excel and find net present values? Bruh, I'm going to tell you right now, with that Excel, you will go home with a friend. Watch this. If, and you don't need to do this, if, open parenthesis, the NPV comes out to be greater than or equal to zero, then type go, close quotation, comma, otherwise type no, go. Yeah, I'm an animal in Excel. Animal, I tell you. Now watch something. Suppose that I had said, I said 8, I meant 18. Oh, well, spank me Jesus, look. Oh, I meant like 5%, sorry, my bad. Do you see what I'm trying to do there? Is when I put that percentage somewhere else, then I can just do a scenario analysis. Interestingly enough, it's been 15 years ago or so with web pages. We had always used to write the code and whatever text we wanted to show or pictures right into the code for the page. And then we started getting these standards imposed by the big dogs that no, you write the page with just calls to these text box, to these text files. That way the code is pure, and then you can go, it just reaches and fetches the words or the pictures from someplace else. That way you can change the words and the pictures without digging into the core code itself. That was something that happened, what were called the W3C standards in web pages years ago. And so we do that with our Excel sheets too, is we don't put numbers right. See how in the formula itself, do you see there are no numbers in this formula whatsoever? That everything is being referenced by numbers elsewhere, you see. And you'll see me do this over and over again, creating a referential system so that the code itself is just pure code. And then you can play with the numbers and do what if, how much, who farted, as you want. Okay? Don't save. Okay, that's that. So you've seen something here that's rather interesting. You found out, okay, I can figure out using net present value, NPV, one of these kinds of problems that they're going to give us. Now, let me move on with a couple of other ones. Let's say you want to put $15,000 in an account so you can withdraw $2,000 every year for 10 years. Excuse me. What APR do you need for this to work? This is clearly a level annuity, and it's an ordinary one. It start the payments are at the end of each period. Okay? This is actually the basis of trust funds, some kinds of trust funds. Like, for example, when I die, I'd like to put money into an account so that my kid can have $2,000 a year for the next 10 years. And by that time, she'll be in her 40s, and she should be able to find a job. Or not. You see the idea here. You're going to put in money, and then you create a classic kind of annuity, a trust fund annuity for your kids or something like that. So in this case, you're going to have year zero. And again, I'm going to do a timeline for 10 years, and in each of the 10 years, $2,000, and you really don't need to do it for this one, I'm just illustrating it. So you're putting in at year zero, $15,000, negative $15,000, and then from years 1 through 10, $2,000 comes back out. You need to know what your rate of return is for this to be to happen. Here's how you do it. It's technically like what's called an internal rate of return, and I could do it that way too. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start my calculator. Did you see that calculator turned off? There is no reason for that calculator to turn off. Anyway, apps, finance, classic TVM, time value of money solver, TVM solver. N is, in this case, it's annual. There's no compoundings. N is 10 years. Whoops. I percent, we don't know it. But we do know that the present value is negative $15,000. That's what we're putting in now. And we do know that the payments are going to be $2,000 coming back. There's no balloon money at the end. So there's FV is zero. And this is an ordinary annuity. So now we just go up and we take it back up and put the cursor on the I percent and say alpha solve. We need a 5.6% interest rate for this to happen. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Now, let me make a point here. Before the age of calculators, you would have had to keep taking present value, adding up the present values of these $2,000, trying different interest rates until you found the, you locked in back and forth. You could do maybe 10, 20 iterations before you would find that number right there. Now, it takes a calculator, what, a split second to do the same stupid thing we used to do, take hours to do. Okay. See how easy that was? That was just, I mean, that was just a joke, basically. I mean, there's actually a way that you could do that on, I'm going to show you how to do it, and you don't need to know this one. Second quit. There's a way that you can do it using another function in the finance apps called IRR, apps finance. And I'm not going to, don't worry if you don't want to do this. IRR is 8, enter. Now with the internal rate of return function, you don't put it in interest rate because that's what you're getting. So all I do is say negative $15,000, comma, and then I would open the braces for the cash flow. 2,000, comma, 2,000, that's 2, whoops, 3, 4, no, because 10 times 20,000 in year 1 is not the same as 20,000 in years 1, 2,000 years 1 through 10. 2,000, comma, 2,000. Tell me what I've gotten 10 of these in here. Comma, 2,000. Seriously? 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me when. One more? Really? This is getting old real fast. Okay.
Now, one more just in case.
No. Oh, no. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You SOBs. Son of a bitch. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, I got owned. Okay. Fine. Yeah.
So you don't need to close the parentheses?
Technically, no. We may live among savages, but we can be civilized. Other people don't close the door, but someday you're not going to close that door, and you know what's going to happen? A clown is going to walk in the middle of the night.
That's a realistic thing.
It really is. Where the hell was it? Oh, now, Excel. And again, mainly what I'm trying to do here is get you more comfortable with using Excel as a normal part of your calculations. Year, cash flow. And in this case, all we have to do in this is simply say year 0, down 1, and then you just highlight 0 and 1, grab the handle and drag it down to 10. I said, drag it down to 12. And then you put in your outflow, negative 15,000. And then you put in your 2,000. And then you grab that 2,000 and you drag it down. And then your IRR. And then from there, you say equals internal rate of return, open parenthesis, and then you just lay in your values. Now, it encourages you to make a guess, and you don't have to, I don't think. Oops. Two decimal places, format. Percentage, two decimals. There you go. Same thing. Now, the advantage with the, again, with Excel is that you can change the numbers as you want. But, I mean, this is very easy stuff. Next thing. I was going to show you one. There's one of your problems has to do with the projection of the growth rate of sales of a company. Your sales for 2015 were 52,000 units. And your sales for 2018 were 55,400 units. What was your annualized growth rate of sales? It's actually very easy to do. It's 55,400 over 52,000 to the one over the number of years. How many years were there between these two? Three to the one-third minus one. That's all you do. They got a whole nice little story, true story, of Coca-Cola's growth of sales pre-World War II in Europe. It's amazing what was happening. That stuff was just selling like Coca-Cola. It was just, the growth rate was just amazing. And interestingly enough, well, anyway, let me get rid of this here for a minute. And we'll just turn on the calculator. Again, for some reason, we need to turn it on again. So all you do is you just take, open parenthesis, 55,400 divided by 52,000. And then you raise that to the, open parenthesis, 1 divided by 3, close parenthesis, minus 1, 2%, 2.13% growth in sales per year. You with? That's all you do. It's 1 over the number of years, even if it's fractional years. 1 over the number of years. And so that's not, I just want to show you that they do a, there's a whole problem. It was that one wasn't mine. I saw it in the Cengage set of problems, and it's a really elegant problem. And it gives also a way for you from a company's previous revenues to see what its growth rate annualized is going to be. So, for example, let me take you. Okay. Let me do something here. I'm going to go. What's the best way to do this? I probably am going to be really sorry that I do it this way. No, let me do something a little bit more stable. Caterpillar. And I want to see financials. Okay. Here's Caterpillar's revenue. From 2014 to 2017. Uh-oh. Boy, that's a mistake. Let's not do Caterpillar. Do you see why I don't want to do Caterpillar? Do you see what's... Yow. Look, 2014, $55 billion. 2017, $45 billion. Well, that's a negative growth rate of sales. Let's move on here. Let's try something else. Okay? Okay, thanks, bye. NFLX. There we go. That works. This is a nice one. Here's Netflix's revenue growth. So in this case, I would do 2017 was $11,692,713 divided by 2014, which was 5504656 close parenthesis to the that's 3 years, right? 1/3. -1. Whoa, 28.55% growth rate of revenues. That's a lot. That's serious growth. And it's also unsustainable growth. Why am I not going to project the next 5 years off that? Go. Yahtzee. There's only so many people on the planet that you can get to Netflix and chill. And there's a limit. And unless they're going to find some aliens to do it, yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, there could be a huge boost in 15 years after they hit the plateau of new markets that just get internet capability.
Well, there is another thing. China. Sure, they could probably hold on if they can get into China in a serious way. Get into some of the heavily developing areas of Africa.
India,
the subcontinent, South Asia. Eventually, see, the whole point of getting people, you know, to calm down, kill off the Taliban, kill off ISIS, kill off Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they're horrible terrorists, but we also can't get the consumers to buy our damn products. Seriously, we can't get into the store.
We can't make money from them if people are dying.
Well, look at it this way. I'd rather them make money than have to go down there and fight with them. Everyone's friends when you're doing commerce. But you see, there's another problem, too. Or another possibility, too. Have you noticed that Netflix keeps jacking up its fees? I mean, when I first started using Netflix, It was $7.99. Now what is it? Yeah, it's something like 15 or something. You know, they keep saying, oh, we just jacked up your rate.
Their partnerships are becoming more expensive.
Well, yes, but the thing, though, is that you see the revenues, they can actually keep making revenues go up simply through jacking up their... So maybe 28% might not be logical for the next 40 years, but it is quite possible that that's a reasonable rate for the next 10 years, that it could still go up through penetration of markets, market penetration, and through increasing their rates as they have shown that they can in the past. So So yeah, this is possibly a realistic number. But you always have to ask yourself, whenever you get real hard growth rates at the beginning of a company's life, how long are they going to be able to do that? The answer is sometimes it's actually they can do it, like Coke. Yes. They'll have to shed the debt, and that'll slow down the growth of the company. One thing that we do have is a biological model of the apex predator. Apex predators actually, once a predator achieves apex, its ranks grow very rapidly, but then it stops, and it stabilizes. The population actually stabilizes at a specific level, simply because they can't grow anymore because there's not enough to eat. Unless they can have their populations keep growing at the same rate, some apex predators, that works, but many it does not. So in other words, early in the life of raptors, their ranks just exploded, and then the raptor populations stabilized. I just watched Jurassic World. That is good. I mean, that was... Oh, yes, it was. That raptor up there on that roof with the moon and the rain, and he's going, it was so classic. It was. I mean, I lived to see that. Anyway, let's move on. Man, I was so... anyway, where was... Okay, now. The last thing I want to show you is an amortization table. Now, I'm going to do this one all in Excel, and I'm going to show you a couple of the things, the tricks of it. You need to follow with me carefully as I do what I'm going to do here. Watch something. First things first, let's open Excel again. Sure. Okay, so now, an amortization table sets out the balance at each month, the payment, the interest, the principal payment, part of the payment, and then the balance at the end of the month. So we are going to talk about getting a very, very nice home for one of you. Madam, you decide you want to stay in Normal, Illinois. Oh, don't curl your lip at me, woman. This is a good place. And so you move to one of the nice areas of town like Ironwood. Okay, and you buy a typical house in this very nice neighborhood. And that typical house costs you $225,000, which you are going to finance that whole amount on a 30-year loan at 6.49% APR. FRM is fixed rate mortgage. So here we go. We're going to set up some columns here. I'm going to have the first column in row in column A, cell row 1, beginning balance. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's put month as the first one. Month. Beginning balance is B. The payment is C. Interest is D. Principal is E. And the ending balance is F. Now moving, putting over here in I1, I'm going to put the APR. And in J, I'm going to put the number of payments per year. And in K, I'm going to type loan amount. Notice again, notice that I am putting the numbers somewhere other than in the action of the formulas. Now, giving myself some cell room here. In cell A2, I'm going to type a 0. And in A3, I'm going to type a 1. And then I'm going to take, highlight 0 and 1, and I'm just going to haul them down for 360 periods. It's a 30-year loan. See? Got that part taken care of. Now, let's do the APR. The APR was what? 6.49%. The number of payments per year were monthly payments, so it's 12. And the loan amount is $225,000. Okay, let you get that in. Tell you a funny story I heard just last night. Now, the beginning balance equals, oh, that number right there, K2. You don't need to write the 2,500. See how I'm avoiding ever in the actual table itself putting numbers. I'm keeping the numbers somewhere else. And I'm going to just make that an absolute reference, okay? I don't think I have to, but I tend to do that. Now, the payment. Whoops, I didn't mean to do that. The payment equals, I'll bet you're going to be blown away by what the function is for payment. PMT. Right? Confusing? I mean, yeah. Hardcore coding. Teach you guys how to be hackers. Now, the rate, interestingly enough, it's going to payment, PMT, open parenthesis, the rate is going to be I2. And then you absolute reference F4 divided by J2, absolute reference. Close the parenthesis. My ass. Oh, just testing you. The number of periods, comma. And I can go clear down here to the very bottom one, the 360, which is A362. Make that an absolute reference, comma, and the present value, that number right there. And actually, I should probably put that as a negative. Negative K2. F4. Let me make sure I did it right now this time. Yeah. Your payments are going to be $1,420.67. Now, how much interest are you going to pay? Well, that's going to be kind of easy because it's always going to be equal to your beginning balance times your APR divided by your payments per year. Oh, geez. Your interest on your, do you see that? Your interest on your first payment. You're making a payment of $1,420.67, and $1,216.88 of that is going to interest. You do see that, right? Okay. So the principal would just be equal to the payment minus the interest. So you paid only $203.80. Yeah. Which one? This one? Its payment is going to be, the way the payment formula works is the first thing that you have to put in is your rate, which would be the APR divided by the payments per year, okay? That'd be your monthly rate. And don't forget to use F4 on both the top and the bottom so it doesn't move. And then the next thing you're going to put in is the number of periods, which was clear down there, the 360 months. And then the last thing you put in, I put in the negative of the loan amount. Okay, clear it, equals, and start from the beginning. You got it? Keep going. The interest. You mean the interest? I just take all I do is what's my APR divided by 12, a month's interest, in other words, what's the monthly interest, times how much is owed at the beginning of the month. At the beginning of the month is B2. I just take that times the APR divided by the number of periods per month. Now, the ending balance is going to be your beginning balance equals your beginning balance minus your principal payment, E2. So it'd be B2 minus E2. So, at the end of the first month, you owe $224,496. Now, watch what I'm going to do here. This ending balance carries over to be the beginning balance of the month next month. So, in cell B3, you're going to say that equals cell F2. Boom. Now, here's the next thing. Cells C2 through F2, highlight, hold down the key, and drag them down one row, like that. My ass, what happened? Oh, I forgot to do an absolute reference on B2 and I2. On I2. I2 is an absolute reference. So D2, you have to put F4, put the cursor on I2 and put F4 divided by J2. And on the J2, you have to do F4. That was where I made the mistake. Yes. Okay, hang on here. Look, let me delete these three, and we'll do it again. Okay, delete. So the first thing I'm going to do here, I've got my payment. Now the interest is going to equal the beginning balance times, now the APR is I2, click on that, and then give it absolute because you don't want that to move, divided by the number of times the interest is calculated per year, which is J2. And that's an absolute reference. You don't want that one to move either. $12,1688. Now the principal, what's paid on the principal would be what you don't pay on the on the interest. So you take E2 is going to be the payment that you made minus how much you paid in interest. So you paid $203 on the principal. Huh? Interest, okay, interest is just what you owe times the interest rate per month, right? So the interest is what you owe, B2, times your APR divided by your number of payments per year. Yeah. Yeah, the payment formula. Again, you do for the payment, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to put in the rate, which is the APR divided by 12. APR divided by number of payments. And use absolute references for both of them. And then the next one is going to be the number of periods, which is 360 months. You just go clear down to the bottom. You go clear down to your 360. And put that as an absolute reference. And then your loan amount, and you make that as a K, you make that absolute so that it doesn't move. And you make it the negative as well. Now, your ending balance is going to be your beginning balance, B2, minus how much you paid on the principal, E2. So you still owe, after the first month, $224,000. Now, that ending balance becomes the beginning balance for the next period. Now, the next thing you're going to do is highlight C through F and bring them down one column, one row. Once you've done that, highlight all of B3 through F3, grab the handle, and take it all the way down to 360 months. And look at that. You are finished with the loan. Actually, I started at zero, so it was 359. Oops, undo. I can't do that. Doesn't work. Just delete it here. See your loan? It's done. That's an amortization table. Now, if you've typed this in, I am almost sure that unless you're a real genius, you're an Excel animal, it's going to take you a while looking at it. But once you get the hang of this, you can just lay out. Now, look at this. Well, suppose that instead I decide that I find that I can get 5.89% APR. This whole table shifts. Suppose I decide that I want to buy a house for $200,000. It all just shifts out by using these references like this. You're in business for doing any amortization table you want. Okay, that's all I have for you. I thank you.